I want to start out by reading scripture before you sit down. We're in Galatians 5 today. And this is a passage, I'm just letting you know, you're going to want to highlight, you're going to want to screenshot, you're going to save it, because this is a powerful part of scripture today. Galatians 5, 16 through 25 says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." How many of you have felt the struggle before? You felt that before. "But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these." Should we just do an altar call right now? "Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Amen. Would you just put your hands out for a moment and invite the Holy Spirit to do something new in you today? Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and speak a fresh word over us. We thank you that your word reveals to us that there is a battle between our flesh and our spirit. And we thank you that the Spirit of God is greater than the flesh within us. So we pray that today you would do a new thing in us, that you would reveal the areas where we need freedom. And we pray that today would be a day of freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Go ahead and have a seat. We're so glad that you're here. If you're listening online, if I haven't met you yet, my name is Mayel, and Nate and I pastor this church, and we love this church. We love what God is doing, and we love the Word of God. We've been in a series called Free Indeed. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you free yet? It's been a summer-long series. If not, it's okay. Tell them today's their day of freedom. Well, we just read that part of scripture, so powerful. And what Galatians is telling us, what Paul is telling us through this chapter, is he's reminding us that it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It doesn't matter how many worship services you've been in, how many scriptures you've memorized, how many worship songs you've sung. That no one, and I repeat, no one, is exempt from this battle. It's the battle between your flesh and your spirit. The battle between your flesh and your spirit. Galatians says there are two opposing forces at war within you, your flesh and your spirit. Within all of us, we have a flesh, a sinful nature that wants to sin. It wants to sin. How many of you have ever found yourself saying something or doing something and you didn't want to do it? You knew it was wrong, but you did it anyway. Every hand should be raised. Why? Because that's the flesh. It's crying out. My husband, Pastor Nate, he was raised in a pastor's home, and the church he grew up in, one Sunday morning, one of the ladies in the church came up to my father-in-law, Wes, and said, "Hey, Wes, I really need you to pray for me, Pastor. I just need you to pray for me." And he said, "How can I pray for you?" And she said, "I need you to pray for me because every night around 7 p.m., the sugar demons come out and they start to attack me and they make me want to eat things I shouldn't eat." You know what he prayed for? He prayed for self-control. But the thing is that was her flesh crying out. She knew it wasn't good for her body, but her flesh just craved sugar. The flesh does what it wants to do. It says what it wants to say. It goes where it wants to go. But there is also a spirit within you. You have a spirit that longs to connect with the Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of God within you that leads you into freedom, that leads you into the plans that God has for you, that leads you into the abundant life that is only found in Christ. It's the flesh versus the spirit. And whichever one you feed will grow. Whichever one you feed will grow. Think about it. If you feed your body, when you eat, what happens? You grow. Our 13-year-old son, this past year, I'm pretty sure he grew about a foot this past year. That boy can eat so much food. I don't even know where it goes half the time. Anybody else with boys in the room? They eat so much food. I'm going to have to get a second job just to pay for his eating habits. But he's been eating and eating, and you know what? He's growing. But if you were to starve yourself and not eat, what would happen? You would die. If you feed your grass, you feed your plants at home, if you feed it, what will happen? It will grow, it will flourish. But if you starve your plants, you starve your grass, it will die. Unless you come to our house and everything dies, no matter what we do. If you feed your flesh, if you give into your flesh's desires, your desires will only grow. But if you starve the flesh, your flesh will die. If you feed your spirit, if you feed your spirit by reading the Word of God, by connecting with God through worship, by spending time in the presence of the Lord, you feed your spirit, what's going to happen? You're going to hunger for more. You're going to hunger for more. You're going to hunger for what God has for you. But if you starve your spirit, it will die. Whichever one you feed will grow. And I'm so grateful that God loves us so much that in his infinite wisdom, he knew that we could not overcome our flesh on our own, that we needed help. And so he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. He took your sin and my sin upon himself. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It never gets old. That he took our sin upon himself and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And on the third day, he rose in victory. Which means that when we find salvation only through Jesus, because he's the only way, the truth, and the life, that we are then made right with the Father. We find salvation. But I want to remind you today that salvation is not the end point for us as Christians. It's the starting point. Salvation is not the end point. It's the starting point. And this is the truth, is that Jesus didn't come just to save us from something. He came to save us for something. He didn't just come to save us from our sins. Yes, he did that. But he also saved us for something. I'm gonna let that sink in for a minute. He saved us for something. Salvation is not the end point, it's the starting point. There's a really powerful verse in Galatians 5:1. It says this: it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. What did Jesus save you for? Freedom. He saved you for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. What this means is that Jesus didn't come and die on the cross and conquer death, hell, and the grave just so that you could go back and live your life of bondage and sin. He didn't come and take your sin upon himself so that you could go back and do the same cycle of addiction, the same cycle of anger, the same cycle of greed and selfish ambition and impurity. No, he saved you for freedom. It is for freedom that you have been saved. That's your destiny as a believer. It's freedom. But the struggle is real. The battle is real because there is a battle between your flesh that wants to sin and the spirit that wants to lead you into all the things that God has for you. My big idea this morning is this. Freedom is found when you starve the flesh and feed the spirit. Freedom is found when you starve the flesh and you feed the spirit. Whichever one you feed will grow. And if you want to be a spirit-led Christian, you have to feed the spirit and starve the flesh. Galatians 6:7-8 says this: don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. What is the scripture saying? It's saying that you can't harvest impurity and expect to walk in freedom and purity. You can't harvest anger and expect to walk in, you can't sow anger and expect to walk in joy. You can't live a life giving into your lustful pleasures or your greed or your selfish ambition, or live a life of gossip and expect then to live a life of freedom. Whichever one you feed will grow. And the Bible is clear that those who live by the flesh will die, but those who live by the Spirit will live. Death, life. You get to choose. And thank God he's given us a way to overcome our flesh. So there's good news today that you might be in here wrestling with your flesh. You might be listening online and you're, man, the struggle is real. Because it is. It doesn't matter where you sit in this room. We all struggle with the flesh. And so today I want to give you two things that are going to help you starve the flesh and feed the Spirit. You ready? All right, two things: starve the flesh and feed the Spirit. The first thing is this. You got to shut the door and fill in the cracks. You got to shut the door and fill in the cracks. Nate and I lived in the Tri-Cities for about 8 years before coming here. How many of you have been to the Tri-Cities before? Yes, there's not a whole lot going on over there. So I am grateful to be here in Portland. To all my Tri-Cities friends, I love you. But I also really love living in Portland. When we lived there, it was, our boys were quite young, and I had gone out to the garage to get something. And as I went out, I saw out of the corner of my eye a small, evil creature with four legs, a tail, and whiskers. And it jumped off the couch in the garage and scurried and hid behind a box in our garage. No, I did what every logical human being would do in that moment. I screamed. I screamed. How many of you would scream if you saw a mouse? I screamed. Okay, there's a lot of things I can't handle. Mice are not one of them. I screamed and I ran inside. Nate came and met me, and he said, "What in the world is going on?" And I said, "Nate, there's a demon in our garage." And he looked at me and he said, "Girl, what are you talking about? There's no demon in our garage." I'm like, "Yes, there is. There's a mouse in our garage." And he said, "Well, let me go check." He didn't believe me. He went into the garage. He did some, you know, research. He came back in and he said, "Mael, you're right." I said, "Thank you. I know. I was right. There was a mouse in the garage." He said, "But I actually don't think there's just one. I think there might be lots of them because I found a whole bunch of mouse poop in the garage." So I informed him at that point that we would be moving. That we could no longer live in that house. He, being the rational one in our relationship, the even-keeled one, he said, "Well, before we move everything out of our house, could you give me 48 hours to try and deal with the problem?" I said, "Fine, you have 48 hours. But not 48 hours in 2 minutes, it's just 48 hours. And if a mouse comes in this house, I'm gone." And so he took the next 48 hours, and he pulled everything out of the garage. Everything out. He's shaking his head. He remembers there's trauma involved. He pulled everything out of the garage. And you know what he did? He Lysoled everything. And you know what we found? We found that these evil intruders had made an army inside my Christmas tree. So if they had not already sealed their fate, they had just done that when we found them in our Christmas tree. We had to get rid of the Christmas tree. We had to get rid of so many things because they had gotten into everything. And so we realized we had a real problem because we had no idea how they were getting in the garage. So we called a professional in. This professional came and he looked at us and he said, "You have a problem." I said, "Yes, we do." And after he looked at the structure and everything, he said, "This is your problem. Number one, you got to start shutting your door. You don't want these little intruders getting in. You got to shut the door." So he said, "You know, when you're going to get your mail, shut the door. When you go down the street, shut the door." So now if you come to our house, you can barely get the car out of the garage before the door shuts because we're like, no mice here. The second thing he said is you got to fill in the cracks. You got to fill in the cracks. On the side of the garage, right where the wood and the metal met, there was a crack in the side and it had a little hole. And so he said that the mice can actually fit through a pinky-sized hole. Did you know that? It can squeeze its little evil body through a pinky-sized hole and intrude into spaces it's not supposed to be. And so he said, we got to fill in the cracks. We got to fill in the cracks and we got to shut the door. And you know what happened? We started shutting the door. We filled in those cracks. Mice had no entry point. They could not get into our garage. And sin, our flesh, is so much like this. If you give any open door to the enemy, he will come in and he will wreak havoc on your soul. If there are any cracks in your character, any holes in your character where your flesh tempts you, where your flesh pulls at you, and you give into it, you leave it there without filling it in, without shutting the door, the enemy will come in and wreak havoc on your soul. And you'll find yourself becoming someone you never intended to be, because sin will always take you further than you ever wanted to go. You got to shut the door. You got to fill in the cracks. Romans 7, 17 through 18 says this, and now I realize that it is no longer my true self doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin in my humanity. For I know that nothing good lives within the flesh of my fallen humanity. The longings to do what is right are within me, but willpower is not enough to accomplish it. How many of you can identify and relate to this passage? I want to do what's right, but my willpower isn't enough to overcome it. You gotta shut the door on the enemy. You know what this means? This means that you gotta stop going to those certain places. You gotta turn off your computer. You gotta get accountability on your phone. You gotta stop hanging out with that group of people. You gotta get serious. Why? Because your destiny's at stake. Your future's at stake. What God has for you's at stake. And you gotta shut the door on the enemy so he has no room to take control in your life. Oftentimes, it's not through an open door. Sometimes it is, but it usually starts with a little crack, a little compromise, one decision, after one decision, after one decision. Never meaning or intending it for it to go as far as it does. But you got to shut the door on the enemy. The danger is the longer you serve the Lord, it's easy to become a little arrogant and think, oh, I overcame my flesh 5 years ago. You know, like I'm good. You know, that was a one-time thing. I don't struggle anymore with the flesh. Can I remind you today that this is a daily battle? This is not a one and done battle. This is a daily battle where we have to shut the door on the enemy and fill in the cracks. The Bible actually warns us. It says that if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. So if you're listening today and you think you're good, you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Are there any cracks that the enemy could get through? Are there any areas of compromise where the enemy could come in and wreak havoc? Are there any open doors? The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Praise God that he gives us a way out. Praise God that there is hope for this. Praise God that my flesh does not have to rule me, that actually by the Spirit I can put to death the misdeeds of the body. I can put to death the flesh. But you know what I got to decide? I can't come and ask the Holy Spirit to set me free and then keep going to the places where I'm tempted. I can't keep leaving open doors and open cracks and expecting to walk in freedom. No, we got to get serious about this. So this morning I want to ask you, what doors are open that you need to shut today? What cracks of compromise do you have in your life that you need to fill in today? You need the Holy Spirit to fill in today. Why? Because freedom is at stake. Your destiny is at stake. Freedom is found when you starve the flesh and you feed the Spirit. Second thing is this. You got to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of your life. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of your life. Galatians 1:6 says this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father. I want to remind all of us today of who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, And he's third, not because the Holy Spirit is least important, but because the Holy Spirit is last to be revealed to us in Scripture. The Holy Spirit is represented in different ways throughout Scripture. It's represented as fire and wind. We sang that. We prayed that. What Pastor Isaiah was saying is, Holy Spirit, come. Come again. Fire, wind, oil, the dove. The Holy Spirit is represented in different functions in different ways. And when Jesus came and he rose again, he rose from the dead, he told his disciples, he said, it is better for you that I go away. It's hard to imagine what could have been better. But he said, it's better for you that I go away, because then the advocate, the helper, can come. And 50 days after Jesus resurrected from the dead, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell in an upper room, and the disciples were filled with power. And it was the power of the Holy Spirit. And this power wasn't just any kind of power, it was dunamis power. Dunamis power, which means it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, now lived on the inside of them. This is incredible news and such a gift to us, because the Holy Spirit, the same power that rose Jesus to victory, now lives in you, which means if you live by the Spirit, you will walk in victory. That's something to get excited about. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father to help us walk in freedom. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it in your own willpower. You can't do it in your own strength. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father. The Holy Spirit comforts. The Holy Spirit guides. The Holy Spirit convicts and leads us in the path that God has for us. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of your life. There's a little city in Mississippi called Rodney, Mississippi. Anybody heard of Rodney before? Most people haven't. Yeah, that's good, because it'll help my story. Rodney, Mississippi. In the 1800s, Rodney, Mississippi was a thriving place. It had the Mississippi River that ran through it, and it was a place of great business and wealth and trade and commerce. It was a place where people came. They wanted to come to Rodney, Mississippi. It was the happening place, like Portland. It was the happening place. People wanted to be there. And it was thriving so much. It actually had Mississippi's first opera house, and it was even considered, when they were trying to choose the capital of Mississippi, Rodney was one of the choices that they were considering. So this tells you how booming this city was. Well, the Civil War happened, and during the time of the Civil War, the course of the river began to change. And over the course of years, little by little, inch by inch, the actual course of the river changed from running through Rodney, and it changed 2 miles in a different direction. So it started running through Rodney, Mississippi, and by the early 1900s, it was 2 miles off of its course. And when the river dried up, when the river stopped flowing through the city, the town began to die. The town began to decay. And what was once a prominent city is now known as a ghost town. You can look it up. It's known as a ghost town. There's no life there. There's no business there. It's a dead place. And this serves as such an important reminder, because no matter how much you have going for you, no matter how many things you have, if the river stops flowing, you will die. John 7:38-39 tells us this. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures said, go ahead and pull up the scripture. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them. By this, he meant the Spirit, from whom those believed in him were later to receive. Rivers of living water will flow within them. The river of living water is found in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living water welling up within you. It's the river of living water leading you and guiding you into all that God has. It's the river of living water from the Holy Spirit that leads you into abundance, that leads you into freedom, that leads you into life. Without the river, we die. The river is necessary because the river sustains us. The river carries us. The river provides for us. And just like the city of Rodney, when the river no longer flowed, the city dried up. Without the Holy Spirit, we will spiritually dry up and decay. And if you've ever stood in a river, how many of you have stood in a river before? Most people in here have stood in a river. If you've ever stood in a river, you know that a river actually has a flow, a current to it. And you have to be aware of the current, because the current will pull you. The current will push you. The current can restrain you. You know what the Holy Spirit is in our lives? The Holy Spirit is the current of God. The Holy Spirit is the restraining of God. It's the conviction of God leading us into all that God has for us. The Holy Spirit leads us into abundance. The Holy Spirit is the one that when your flesh cries out and says, feed me, do that one more time, just one more time, just look a little bit longer. You know what happens? It's the Holy Spirit within you that restrains you, that tells you, no, don't go in that direction. There is more for you on the side of freedom. There's more for you that God has for you. It's that restraining, that pulling you back towards God. It's a gift from the Father. Romans 8:5 says this, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. What is your mindset on today? Is it on the flesh or is it on the Spirit? Is it on death or is it on life? Romans 8:5 in the King James Version says it this way, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I love that version. What are you after today? What are you after? Are you after the flesh or are you after the Spirit? Are you feeding the flesh or are you feeding the Spirit? Do you want to walk in death or do you want to walk in life? What are you after today? I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of daughter, the kind of mom, the kind of pastor, the kind of leader that is after the things of God. That even though the world says, it's okay, you do you. No, I am after the things of God because I know that the pathway, the current of the Holy Spirit will help me flow into all that God has for me. I don't want to miss out on what God has. I don't want to give the flesh any crack or crevice to get in and tempt me and pull me away from experiencing all that God has. What are you after today? Romans 8:12 through 14 says this, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. I want you to highlight that, underline that. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You don't owe your flesh anything. I know it talks to you. I know the temptations are real. I know it says, oh, if you'll just give in one more time, you'll feel better. I'm telling you that anytime you give in to your flesh, on the other side of that is pain and suffering. It does not lead you to life. You don't owe your flesh anything. Nothing. The Bible tells us that if you live by its dictates, because it will try to dictate you, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Another version says it this way, that proof of sonship is that you are led by the Spirit. Meaning proof that you are a son or a daughter of God is that you are led by his Spirit. The reality is that most of us, we meet Jesus, we have a powerful encounter with God. And you know what? We start out in the Spirit. We start out strong in the Spirit. Man, we start out strong. We start out reading our word and memorizing scripture. We start out fasting and praying. We have scripture verses on sticky notes, on our steering wheel, in our kitchen, in our bathroom. Who's done that? I've done that. You know, we start out strong. But somewhere along the line, if we don't daily surrender and daily to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know what happens? Our flesh starts to take over. Our flesh starts to take over. And then all of a sudden, instead of being Spirit-led, I'm me-led. I'm led by my desires. I'm led by what I want. I'm led by my greed. I'm led by my anger. I'm led by my sin. I'm led by my lust. I'm led by impurity. I'm led, and we become something we never intended to be. Galatians 3:3 addresses this. It says, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? I think back to Bible college, and I had so many friends that were so excited about the call of God in their life, whether it was in business or ministry or being a teacher. And it breaks my heart to see how many of them are not even serving the Lord anymore. They started out in the Spirit, but somewhere along the line, the flesh took over. God is calling us to be the kind of believers that rise up, and we're not just starting in the Spirit. We're going to stay in the flow of the current of the Holy Spirit. We're going to allow the flow of the living water to lead us and guide us. Freedom is found when you starve the flesh and you feed the Spirit. You know, I was thinking about how could a river that once flowed powerfully through a city, how could it dry up? How could a river like that dry up and just completely stop flowing? And you know, I'm not a scientist or anything, but I asked Google, and so Google, this is what I found on Google. And it sounds like it's probably true. One of you, I'm sure, will come and correct me afterwards, but this is what Google said, okay? Is that up from the river, from Rodney, Mississippi, right above it, there was a pile of dirt, of sand, of silt. And that over time, it didn't just happen overnight. Little by little, year after year, day after day, a little bit of dirt, a little bit of sand, a little bit of mud, a little bit of dirt, a little bit of sand, a little bit of mud, a little bit of silt began to pile up. And it began to pile up and get so big and so strong that it literally became this stronghold that the water, it blocked the flow of the water. It came to a place where the water could no longer flow through it because of all of the dirt and all of the grime and all of the silt that had built up over time. And when I read that, I had one of those moments where I thought, wow, that is just like us with the Lord. Man, if we're not careful to allow the Holy Spirit to wash away impurity, to wash away anger, to wash away bitterness, to wash away selfishness and gossip and anything that's unholy, if we're not careful, that can build up in our lives and actually stop the flow of the Spirit from moving in our lives. It can stop the living water. Because here's what happens. This is the difference between a flesh-led life and a Spirit-led life. Someone who is led by the flesh, when conviction comes, it's what you do with your conviction that separates a flesh-led life and a Spirit-led life. Because when you are led by the flesh and conviction comes, it's in that moment where you can feel the tug, you can feel the pull of the Holy Spirit pulling you into righteousness, pulling you into freedom. But in that moment, the flesh-led life will say, no, I'm going to ignore you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to go do what I want to do. And every time that happens, a little crack is open to the enemy. Every compromise opens a door of opportunity for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc on your soul. Every single time, and over time, it will build up and it will block the flow of the Holy Spirit from moving in your life. It will block the living water. And because this is essentially what you're saying. When you ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're saying, Holy Spirit, I don't need you. I'm going to do whatever I want. So it's not because the Holy Spirit doesn't want to flow in your life. It's because you've been rejecting him. The flesh wants what it wants, but the Spirit wants to lead you into freedom. So those that are led by the Spirit, you know what happens when they get convicted? It doesn't mean they're not tempted. No, it doesn't mean that struggles aren't there. But what the difference is that when they feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they feel the tugging and the pulling back towards God. You know what they do? They go in the way of the Spirit. They die to their flesh. They shut the door on their flesh. They fill in the cracks and they follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. What you do with your convictions. And the longer you're in the river of the Holy Spirit, the longer you live the Lord, you know what happens? Your convictions grow. I was thinking about it. I'm convicted about things that 10 years ago I was not convicted about. Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more you realize what's at stake, what's in store. And I want all that God has for me. I don't want just a little bit. I want all of it. I want it for my husband. I want it for my kids. I want it for my grandkids. I want it for the future. I want to set the example of legacy that says, you know what? My flesh may cry out, but the Spirit of God within me is so much greater, is so much stronger. And I want to go on the pathway of freedom. I was thinking about it this week, the things that I'm convicted about. I'm convicted about what I eat. I'm convicted about what I wear. I'm convicted about where I go. I'm convicted about who I spend time with. I'm convicted about what I watch. I'm convicted about serving. I'm convicted about generosity. You see, your convictions will grow. And you know what that means? That's a sign that you're in the river. A sign that you are in the flow of the Holy Spirit, that the water, the living water is within you, is that when you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that's a good thing. Thank God for conviction. Thank God that He uses His Holy Spirit to guide us. Amen? You know what I pray over my kids? I pray the Spirit of conviction over them. Every day, every time Titus leaves the door, I pray, Holy Spirit, convict that boy. Be upon him. Lead and guide him into righteousness. And you know what happens? The Holy Spirit convicts that boy. He's leading him into righteousness. Mama's in the house. Grandma's in the house. Dads, you got to start praying that over your family. The Holy Spirit will help us walk in freedom. You want to walk in freedom, you got to starve the flesh and you got to feed the Spirit. And today is an incredible day because today is a day of freedom, but today is a day of also salvation. And I'm believing that today, that some of you who have not been walking with Jesus, today is going to be your day where you say the best yes of your life. And for some of you, you might have said yes to Jesus a long time ago, but you haven't been walking with Him. Today's your day of rededication to the Lord. And this is why this is such a big deal. Your eternity matters. Your eternity is at stake. There is salvation waiting for you that is only found in Jesus. And when you say yes to Jesus, it's the beginning of the rest of your life. It's the beginning of all that God has for you. And so today, with every head bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to give an opportunity for salvation online and in the room. And I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, if you want to ask Jesus into your heart for the first time or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus today, I want you to just lift your hand up on the count of three. Don't wait. So one, today is your day of salvation. Two, don't wait till tomorrow. Three, today's your day. Raise your hand. I want to see that hand up. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. I see those hands in the back. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. There's about eight or nine hands that are raised right now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Jesus, forgive me my sins. I've been living by the flesh. I don't want to do it my way anymore. I ask you to come in and be my Lord and Savior. Make me new. Cleanse me. Wash me clean today. And fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on. If you prayed that prayer, all of heaven's rejoicing. Your next step is to get baptized in 2 weeks. September 1st, we're going to have baptism. You can check us out at the Hub. It's your best yes. There's a sign. We want to help you get signed up to get baptized and experience all that God has for you. Would you stand to your feet with me? When I was 15 years old, I remember it was a pivotal moment in my life because it was a moment where I felt the current of the Holy Spirit come in and move me. Have you ever had a moment like that where the Holy Spirit just came in like a flood and moved you? I was 15 years old and I was living by the flesh. I was angry. I had some things happen to me as a kid that I didn't quite know how to process, didn't know how to verbalize, and I was mad. I was angry. I was angry. I was selfish. I was envious of other people. And I was wrestling with thoughts of death. Because that's what happens when you live by the flesh. It'll produce thoughts that are along the lines of death. And at that point in time, when I was 15 years old, I was really struggling with thoughts of suicide. And I remember being forced to go to a conference, a girls' conference. I did not want to be there. I want to make that clear. Some of you are in the room and you did not want to be here today. I see you, God sees you. But how many of you know that God just loves to surprise you? And even when you go bound and determined not to be moved by God, God will move. So I went to the service, I sat in the back, and I was like this. I loved God. Oh, I loved God. But I was not gonna let the Holy Spirit move, because that meant that I had to deal with some stuff. That meant that all that pain that I was trying to suppress had to come out. So I sat in the back like this. And I don't remember what was spoken, but I do remember worship at the end. And it was like all of a sudden, a flood from heaven came on me. And the Holy Spirit began to wash me clean. And I found myself at the altar, kneeling at the altar. The current of the Holy Spirit pushed me towards God. And you know what happened that day for me? My anger became joy. The death became life. I was transformed in that moment because of the Holy Spirit. The living water was now alive within me again. And today, I don't know where you're at, but I believe we're not gonna rush out of here. Don't grab your purse yet. If you have your purse, put it back down. This could be your moment. If you've come bound and determined not to respond today, your flesh might be saying, you don't need to respond, you're good. I'm here to tell you today is for you. Why? Because there is freedom for you. There is more that God has for you. There is so much more. You know, it's easy to come to church and check a mark off. You know, the city of Rodney, there is still water in Rodney, but it doesn't have a flow. It's a swamp. And I don't know about you, but I think there's too many swampy Christians out there that have bacteria growing within them, and what they desperately need is they need the flow of the living water to come and rush through them today. And so today there's an invitation. I felt like the Lord was just saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. Here's what it is, that today's the day where chains break, where generational curses are broken, that some of you have been walking through the same cycle of addiction, that today's your day of freedom. And so there's an invitation, and I have the pastors and prayer partners. We're gonna come up front, and you know what? You're invited. If you want, today is a day. You're gonna make a statement to your flesh and say, no, I'm gonna live by the Spirit. I want you to come forward right now. We're gonna pray over you. You're gonna make a statement to the flesh. I'm not gonna live by the flesh. I'm gonna live by the Spirit. Come on, don't let your flesh have a hold on you anymore. Your flesh has no hold on you. It's by the Spirit. You can come forward and meet with God. Come forward and meet with God, because today is your day of freedom. We have prayer partners that wanna pray with you. We have people that are gonna believe with you. So we're gonna sing one more song, and I encourage you, don't leave this room until you've encountered the living water, until you have the freedom of living water running through you, amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom. Thank you that chains are being broken. Thank you, God, that bondage is being broken. Thank you, Lord, that generational curses are being broken, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ, so if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes. And we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.